For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Going to bring up third down against the Gator defense. An All-American and Alex Brown on one side. Okendo Johnson takes the start on the other. They'll give it to Perry again. And this time, wrapped up short of the first down. Alex Brown, nice job from his defensive end position.
Yeah, this is one defense you don't want to run sideways on. You don't want to run east and west. Too much quickness.
Everybody gave us names for the Jaguar God. I didn't expect everybody to just come with it like that. Blaine Gabbert is my favorite. Or perhaps Blake Bortles.
Oh, Blake Bortles did take him to an AFC championship game.
Should have been a Super Bowl. They got screwed in that game.
They did.
Tony Khan, I guess that would make sense. Fred Taylor, also a submission. And Mercedes Lewis.
Oh, that's right. Mercedes Lewis is in the running for that. But Fred Taylor would be the guy that Alex Brown would
Jimmy
choose,
Smith?
Right?
Wasn't Jimmy Smith their big, yeah, good receiver?
Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardo.
But I think Baselli is going to be there. He would be the judge.
But we're trying to have fun with the bit, Dan.
Well, I
David
know.
Garrard would be a good
David
name.
Garrard.
That's good.
Byron Leftwich. Guys are legends.
You know what? Yeah. Leftwich, actually, that's pretty good,
Jaguar
actually.
God might be Byron Leftwich.
That might work.
So you're saying, well, why were you playing a highlight from the Florida-Maryland game in 2002?
Well, the reason that we brought it up is because yesterday we had Dominique Foxworth on the show, who was terrific, by the way, and I hope that his schedule will allow for him to come and visit our little show more often because he's really good at what he does, and his podcast is great. And I had mentioned to Dominique that I had listened to the podcast of him a couple weeks ago, and he was telling the story of his first bowl game when he was a freshman, which was against Alex Brown and that Florida Gators team that was really, really good.
Oof.
Yeah. So when we got him on the show, I asked him to talk about it a little more, and he did. And then we were like, well, wait, we know Alex Brown. We should probably call Alex Brown, although we're having problems connecting with Alex Brown as we speak.
He's a busy man.
He is a busy man.
Also,
is he?
We need to ask. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Kids, family. He's always
got
something going on.
No, he's got four kids, right?
Eight kids.
He's got four kids.
And knowing how seriously he takes Halloween, he might be already starting to decorate or get the decorations for the house.
He also runs a company.
Well, if he takes there's a pop-up Halloween store right near me.
I don't think that's going to be close.
No.
It's not going to be very close for him.
It's just a little frightening.
Is it called Spirit Halloween? They pop up everywhere.
It's called Spirit Halloween.
It's fine. But yeah, Alex doesn't live very close to you, so that's not going
to
help
him. I'm just inviting if he needs Halloween stuff.
I don't think it would help him at all. But he does join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, AB?
What's going on? How y'all doing? Sorry about the technicality there. My bad.
It's all good.
I don't know what's going on there?
Well, listen.
Doing better than the Gators, I can tell you that.
Wow. Oh, no.
Really?
Wow.
Is that how we're
right
just...
off the rip, huh? Right off the rip, God. We're just going to do that, huh?
Goodness.
Wow.
Yikes.
I mean, things are not
right.
Great.
I can't disagree. You're right.
Well, why don't we talk about actual good Gators teams like yours? Because... And I screenshotted the pod when Dominique was talking about it on his pod. But, AB, we had Dominique Foxworth on yesterday, and we told him about you, us being all friends with you and me working with you. Here's a story that he shared about you.
Well, we was not ready for that Florida team. It was like 10 pros, 12 pros on that team. Bunch of first round picks, and Alex Brown was the scariest of them all.
And I think Rex Grossman was like suspended maybe for like the first
for the first quarter. He was out for the first quarter. It didn't matter, but once he came in there.
So I got some of the backstory, Dominique. I guess Alex had, he was supposed to be suspended for the first half. And Alex went to the coach and was like, all right, that's enough. Like, that's enough. Let's get our guy up in there.
Okay, so I feel better about me being scared of Alex if Steve Spurrier was also scared of Alex.
That laugh means it's true.
That's good. No, it is true. It is absolutely true. So Rex was suspended. Like, coach, he came in like 4 o'clock one morning. And because, like, understand, we didn't want to be there. We thought we should be playing for a national title. And, of course, 9/11 happened. They pushed all those games back to the end of the season where we typically play. We typically play Tennessee the third game of the season. We had to play them at the end of the season. So we lose a game up in Auburn, rainy day. Just wasn't a good day for us. They kick a field goal and beat us. But that Tennessee game, we knew we were better than them, and we just couldn't get it going to win that game and end up losing by two. So we were, the Orange Bowl, we knew we were better than that, and we thought we could beat Miami. Now, everybody talks about how Miami was so good and they were this and that. We played Miami the previous year, and they beat us, okay? Why we think we'd beat them this time? Well, because they didn't have Santana Moss and they didn't have Reggie Wayne, whereas the year before they did. And most of our team came back. So we lost Gerard Warren, defensive tackle. He was the third pick in the draft. We lost him. But outside of that, pretty much everybody came back. So we thought we had the team to beat them. Rex was playing at a high level. I think he ended up second in the Heisman Trophy race that year. Jabbar Gaffney and Rishay Caldwell. And I mean, there were so many guys. We had so many players.
And that number 13 guy was pretty good. I remember watching him.
He was pretty good. Then, you know what? I was upset the year before because everybody talked about how you couldn't get a sack on Brian McKinney, how he never gave up a sack in college. So when we get to the NFL, I'm like, I know damn well I can beat this dude. And every Minnesota game we play, he's the tackle I have the most sacks on in my career. He is. Like, I'm just like, and I talk to him now. Like, I actually talk to him now. But during the season, and I've shared this with him, when we were playing, I could not stand him. Could not stand him at all. I was so mad. Just that game, I was really, really upset. And we played Seattle, too, and I wasn't really upset because Walter Jones, I was more like even keel. I ain't going to say I was scared, but I'm going to say even keel. But it was Walter Jones, so it was like, okay, I don't want to make him mad. So...
Did we lose you, Alex?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you trailed off or not. I think it's so much fun to just hear you talk about this. And that game this weekend, I know it did not turn out in the ideal situation for you. But to have that level of fire, even after the game where you see the video of like the recruits going, you know, being courted by the Miami players and all that, but just the passion when it came to the state of Florida football at the time. And you're talking about the 0-1 Miami team and what you guys had.
Yep.
It was, to me at least, just more fun when college football had that level of elite athletes collected on teams like that. I mean, the Florida football at the time in college to me was just unstoppable when you're talking about the entire state, whether it was Florida State playing for a national title, Florida obviously in that, and then Miami and what they were doing. It's cool to see that it might be at that level again, or at least trying to get there.
Well, I think there's a couple of teams that's gonna have to pick it up, and that's my Gators and Florida State with them losing to Boston College like they did. But it's growing up, it was so much fun watching Miami, Florida State, and then Florida State, Florida, because you knew somewhere in there there was a national championship game hanging in the balance. Mm-hmm. And both of those games. Now we got – you get Georgia, and the reason you get Georgia is because now you got Florida players going to Georgia. You got Florida players going to Alabama. They're not keeping them home. They're not keeping them in state. Now, I think Cristobal is doing a better job of keeping the kids from Orlando down. He's keeping those kids home. He's keeping them well, what they consider home, right? So he's keeping them down south. And if he can just – he really don't have to go outside of that. And when you look back at the really good Miami teams, the really good Florida State teams, the really good Florida teams, you see pieces. You see pieces of guys. You see for Florida, you see Ike Hilliard coming from Louisiana. And then you go to Tebow years, you see a Percy Harvin coming from up the northeast, up Jersey way. But for the most part, you see the players, the majority of the roster is from Florida. And that's what I think we need to get back to. I think Kirby Smart is doing a hell of a job. As much as it pains for me to say it, it pains me to say that. I really see an early 2010-2011 Alabama like dominance forming. And what he's got going over there, man, it's a machine, and it's going to be very hard to derail that machine, honestly. He's good, man. He's a really good coach. My little brother played with him or played under him as a DC at Valdosta State back in the early 2000s. And I tell you what, he was damn good then. He's damn good now. And now he's at a place where he played, where he has that passion for. And there's something about that, having a coach that played there, having a coach that's willing to do whatever to get his program. And it truly is his program when you play there and you have that love for that program. Very similar to Spurrier. So, and now they got Kirby Smart, and it's going to be really tough for the foreseeable future with everybody, not just Florida, not just SEC, but everybody. And I think Clemson was the first one to find that out.
Are you ever in touch with Rex Grossman? How's he doing?
He's good. He's good. I mean, Rex is a lay low type of guy. Like, I'll call him and say, hey, man, what's going on? Or text him. How's everything going? Everything good? Because we're all on a text chain. So my 97 class from Florida is all on a text chain. And we all went down. It was actually 97 and 98 that met up down at Titusville High School for Aaron Walker. That was probably a month and a half ago. And we put on a football clinic down there for all the kids that would come out. I mean, we had 300-400 kids come out. And it was just something we decided we wanted to do. Nobody really talked about it. Nobody said anything. That's not what we wanted, you know? So, and I wouldn't be bringing it up if you didn't just say, like, about Rex and we talk. And
you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like a lot of the guys, a lot of quarterbacks end up as part of the entire quarterback industrial complex now. And they're training kids and they've got these academies or they're in the media. And I don't know, maybe Rex is just...
Rex just went home. Yeah, he stopped playing football and went home.
He did.
He did. Yes, that's exactly what it is. That's a great way to put it. He just went home. He was done. That's it.
So AB, how would you describe your feelings about this upcoming season and the Bears having Caleb Williams?
Oh, man, I'm 100 miles an hour. I'm full head of steam. I'm full speed ahead. Let's go. Because I love the quarterback. I've expressed that for a while now. I think he's going to be phenomenal, assuming they can keep him upright and he stays healthy. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. I think early on, right now, they'll have to continue to do that because I'm not sure how long Keenan Allen will be there. I'm not sure how much juice DeAndre Swift has. So you got to continue adding these pieces around him. But you add Rome Odunze, you still got years with DJ Moore. You got Cole Kmet. I think it's going to be phenomenal watching them. Watching an offense that truly, I mean, it's going to be fireworks, I think, every week. But to have that in the defense, because I do think they have a top 10 defense currently. I think they can grow into that top five and be in the conversation of a top five defense. And if you tell me that we got an offense, and I fully believe they'll score 28 points a game, you got an offense that can score 28 points a game, and you got a defense that's teetering on top five in the league, Nah, there's no reason for me to be holding back here. I'm all in. If it breaks my heart, it breaks my heart. But I'm not holding anything back. I'm going full steam ahead.
I also want to ask you, being a former player, about Hard Knocks. Have you seen it? Have you gotten the chance to watch the Bears on it?
Yes, it's the only one I've ever watched. Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's I think you get the inside when you're talking about some of the coaches and their general manager. You get to see the president. You get to see little pieces of it. But all that stuff is says it's like, okay, we're only going to say this. We're only going to say that. It's not true. It's not wherever you're at as far as work. Unless you work on camera and you always have a camera in front of your face, then if you went to your job, everybody listening, if you went to your job right now and you noticed there was 18 cameras in every corner, every crevice of your office that wasn't there the day before, you do stuff a little different. Because you know people are watching, you know this stuff is going to be played. So it's going to be a little different than what truly training camp is. And honestly, I think I'm a little disconnected from what training camp really is now, because I'm 2-a-days, full pads, let's go. And you're supposed to be sore after practice, not going to the Empire State Building or wherever they went on. They went to
Sears Tower.
It's Willis Tower. Okay. So, you know, I'm like, these boys, they be having a good time. Now, that was the quarterback. So, but yeah, I did watch it. I think I enjoyed it. I think I watched it because I'm like everybody else. I am excited, or most people, I'll say. I'm excited for this football team. I think they can be really good. I do expect them to make the playoffs, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
I do have a concern, and it has to do with your position. Mm-hmm. I'm good on the one guy. Like, he's mm-hmm. real good. He's a problem. But I look at the other end position, and I go, I have questions. I look at the three technique, and I go, I like the athleticism, but I have questions about a 6-6-3 technique. Mm-hmm. Do you have any of those questions about this defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, there's always questions, right? There's always questions. I have the same questions. Is he too big? I mean, when we look at defensive players outside of the three technique at I shouldn't say that. There are a couple guys that play that three technique that are disruptive. The kid they got out in Kansas City, he's a big dude. 95 at Chris, I think.
Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm. Chris Jones.
Chris Jones. Chris Jones is a big human being. So, but he's disruptive, and that's all you want. You want somebody to be disruptive. You're not about to get the perfect team. Okay? You're not gonna get it. Look at the past 10 Super Bowl champions. They weren't perfect teams, right? There were holes somewhere. But where can you make that up at? So can you make it up from the offensive side of the ball? Any defensive efficiencies? And I mean, being in Chicago, I mean, let's really think about this. We've had to make it up, not just our team, but hell, the 85 team had to make up some deficiencies for the offense by playing at a very high level on defense. So it's just what it is. I mean, you're not going to get the perfect team. You're not about to get a Peyton Manning led football team and the 85 Bears on the same squad. No, you're not going to get that. Like, yeah.
No, Alex, I was going to say, before we let you go, is Antonio going to keep playing baseball?
Well, yeah. I mean, shit, I think the Sox should call my bad.
No worries. We got it.
We're glad you feel comfortable.
We got it.
I got comfortable. I'm sorry. I got real comfortable.
We're glad you're comfortable talking.
So, yes, he is. And I think the Sox should call him. I know you're listening. So, Sox, Cubs, somebody, call him. He ready to go. I'll fly him up there, or we'll get him there. You just call him.
Because he played for Furman Paladins and then the Mercer Bears, right? So he's had all this D1 experience.
Yeah, he committed to Furman, and then they canceled their baseball program due to COVID. So he ended up going to Mercer, playing his collegiate career there. And now he's down in Puerto Rico playing in their professional league there. Yeah, I mean, he's still pursuing it, you know? Like, there's a lot of different ways. When he was growing up, we used to talk about Carlos Correa mm-hmm. and Jose Altuve, and they play right beside each other. And one was the number one pick in the draft, and the other one is from Venezuela, but he had to go a totally different route to get to the MLB. And it doesn't matter how you get there; it's just that you get there. So just keep grinding. If it's a dream that you really, really want to do and you love pursuing it, keep going after it. Like, because when it's over and you decide to quit, then it's over. Like, there's no going back. There's no, I wish I would have. I wish I would have kept going. I wish I would.
But
he
can play, correct me if I'm wrong, but he counts on a Puerto Rican team not as an import, right? Because of mom.
Correct. Yes. Correct. Yep. So my wife is Puerto Rican, and yeah, he doesn't count as a foreigner.
Right.
So they have their, what they believe is equivalent to the AA ball. Mm-hmm. So they have that draft in December. So what he has been playing has been A ball. So I think he's did a really good job there, and he'll get drafted. And this is where he'll start getting paid for this Division II league. This is where Duran, the center fielder from the Boston Red Sox. So Duran was in this same team organization or this same league 4 years ago. So, and now he's playing at the Boston Red Sox. So it's definitely a way. People have done it. So just play at a high level and they'll come.
All right, 96, have you found a post-game home yet?
CHGO, man. Yeah, Lance and I, it should come out here pretty soon. Well, hell, it's coming out right now. But, yeah, we're going to.
That's out.
So we're going to, that'll be announced here soon. And, it's going to be fun, man. We're going to have our own show. It's going to be awesome. We get to say whatever we want. So, y'all, man, tune in because it is going to be a blast. Anything Chicago Bears, man, is going to be awesome because the excitement is there. I think they're going to be good. The defensive side of the football is there. I truly believe, gosh, they have they're real close to having a complete football team that can compete right away for a division title, and that's the first and foremost thing. Win the division, and then let's see what the hell happens after that.
Well, congratulations, man. I know that you and Boogie have been working really hard on your craft as broadcasters, and I'm going to miss doing work with you guys, but I love that you guys will be together and still be able to do and bring football coverage to people in Chicago.
100%. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Same here, AB. We appreciate you. Huge congratulations to you and Lance.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Although it's not out yet, so don't tell anybody.
We won't.
Yes, secret's safe with us.
The most popular radio show in Chicago won't tell anyone about any of that. Later, AB. I love that guy. So you can catch Lance Briggs and Alex Brown on CHGO after games. We'll be back after this, and when we come back.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do it. They tell us not to do it, but we got to do it. You know what we're talking about. If you don't, you're going to learn next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness! The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Say it with me. You never go full White Sox.
I thought you were going so White Sox, no. Like so Taguchi.
You never go full White Sox.
That's messed up, man. And everyone knew what it meant.
That was MASN, but man.
The White White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Okay, and here's my thing is, they have a right to say it. But let's not forget that the Orioles lost over 100 games, 3 out of 4 years, and the other year was COVID.
It's
19, 18, and 21.
And yet they have built themselves, they found a couple of 6-win players and, you know,
scouted well and didn't have to trade away their first rounders every year for nothing.
It's funny because
not
like
that I'm bitter.
The Orioles are kind of like the sliding door White Sox because you do have an ownership that's similar.
The ballpark
thing, them going through a bunch of losing seasons in a really good division and then turning it around.
Didn't Roland Heeman run them as well
for a brief period
of time? I think he did. I think there's some crossover there.
Man, you want to talk about the tree, that Jeff Luhnow tree, David Stearns and Mike Elias.
And then the blaming of the umpires is just so embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. Can you not hear yourselves? Can you not hear yourselves? And do we have the White Sox TV call of the guys running into each other? I think because...
So it's a little disjointed. This is actually... A couple minutes after that happens, when the next batter finally got up there.
It is now a 7-0 game. This is just one of those relentless Orioles offensive lineups.
Okay.
Their lineup is relentless.
That may be true. But it's 7-0, not because of the relentlessness of the Orioles lineup, but because you had two guys run into each other on a routine pop-up with the bases loaded that allowed 3 runs to score.
And that pop-up was by none other than
Eloy Jimenez, who is a 118 OPS plus in Baltimore.
I think he found that portal that we were talking about in High Noon and figured out how to upside down land things, and now he is out of the funk.
Eloy gets to go to the playoffs this year. Michael Kopech gets to go to the playoffs this year.
Michael Kopech is going to be on the mound on your television when it's cold.
I knew this was going to happen.
And this is why I think Garrett Crochet chose poorly.
But additionally, it's why you have to get value for people who have value on your team. You get an arm out of the deal. You do something other than draft the same position or the scouting report talking about how a player on a certain team doesn't have a position.
Or you look at Vargas and go, oh, you know what the Dodgers actually need a little bit more of? Infield depth. And yet, they're willing to trade some of their infield depth.
Because he's not an infielder.
Why would they do that? You have to ask yourself some of those questions.
I'm still wondering what the return was from St. Louis for Tommy Pham and Eric Fetty.
What's up, Pham? Karate Man's with the Diamondbacks now, right? Yep. He went back.
Yep.
They waived him, and then he ended up going to the Diamondbacks. So Karate Man is back.
Karate Man is on a playoff team.
Yes, he's going to be on a playoff team yet again.
The Michael Kopech thing, like you knew another team was going to see what he had and would deem it valuable.
So here's the thing, though. As much as we demonize the White Sox, and we should, because they're terrible, I'm not going to demonize them for the Kopech thing. Here's why. One, they were telling Kopech the right things to do.
Yep, they were.
He was choosing not to do them. Two, if you look at when his hot streak began, it was his last 5 outings as a White Sox.
It was after the Jake Berger.
So,
the truth be told, though, his velo is up. Whatever's going on, if you actually pitch by pitch, he's not sitting 97, 98.
And no,
he's been 101, 100, 101.
Credit to Kopech for actually saying that the Sox were telling him this. And Fetty, as you guys know, was one of my favorite both pickups and stories that the Sox had this season. But that's because I thought that both of them had a large amount of value, which is why I wanted more to come from that trade. Simply saying you want Tommy Edman should not determine that another team get less in the return.
Eric Fetty is a 5.2 BWAR. they found money.
Well,
and they just set it on fire.
that's it to me. Like, you can make trades, you can rebuild, but when you're getting every single time, or virtually every single time, a return that is not sufficient on the transaction you've made, especially when it comes to proven big league talent, I will talk about it every day. It's not fair to anybody, especially yourselves.
While we're talking about trades and the value that they've gotten, one of the biggest trades the Sox have made in recent years involved Chris Sale. And Chris Sale found himself at the top of a franchise record book in a way that blew my mind. As of today, Chris Sale, with 206 strikeouts, is the only left-hander in Braves history to record a 200 strikeout season.
Wow.
I said that can't be right. It can't be right. It can't be right. Number one.
Hold on.
Yeah, Lawrence, I did the same thing in the history of the Braves. And the Braves are not a young franchise. This goes all the way back. In 2024, Chris Sale right now is at 206. The next was Tom Glavine, had 192 in 1991.
I thought maybe Steve Avery, but I guess he wasn't really a strikeout pitcher.
Warren Spahn.
Holy crap balls.
Had 191 in 1950. Then Denny LeMaster in 63 and 64 had respective 190 and 185. Then Warren Spahn again, 183 in 1952. And then Tom Glavine, again, in 1996, had 181.
Wow.
I just thought, no way. Warren Spahn had never had a 200 strikeout season?
I got to check your work on
this.
That's
wild. Seriously.
That's insane.
That's what I said. I was, you know.
That 96 season for Glavine was a thing.
Yeah, but I mean.
Good Lord.
But I thought for sure.
He threw 235 innings that year.
Well, I mean, look at the stuff Spahn did.
Oh, I mean, yeah. That was when it's like,
you want to talk,
he's pitching the next day.
Yeah, you want to talk innings. 302, 293, 310. 310 didn't even lead the league in 1951.
What did?
I have to check, but Warren Spahn threw 5,243 and two-thirds innings.
He's no Fergie Jenkins.
And
Fergie got on by the Rangers on Saturday.
I could not believe that he hadn't accrued more strikeouts than that.
It's wild.
191 was his all-time high, and he did lead all of baseball in 1950. But, wow. Congrats to Chris Sale.
Are we going to hear from Caleb?
I think we're going to hear from Caleb after Russ Dorsey.
Oh, that's right, because we got to talk about Russ.
Yeah, we do. And when we come back, I know there was some DJ Moore sound that you wanted to play.
Yeah.
His sort of self-image relative to other receivers.
So let's do some Bears next here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
Williams finds DJ Moore. Muscles for more. I like football!
Yeah, liking football's good. You got to love football. We know how scouts talk. You got to love football. You got to be the footballiest football. You got to sleep with a football underneath your pillow.
Isn't it cool, though, that like Caleb Williams is changing what that looks like?
I hope he is. I hope he's a pioneer to change a lot of things.
I do, too. But I think that it's refreshing that there were people who were like, well, I'm not sure if this guy, you know, Mr. Hollywood... And you go, no, this dude loves ball.
Well, it's not
like
just
he's,
that.
He's crazy about football.
And I mentioned it yesterday about the way he is so deft at inoculating against criticisms and all of these sort of ham-handed attacks on his masculinity. And it just rolls off of him because he doesn't define it the way you define it. And he's not held to that. He's not bound by it. He doesn't care. He says, oh, he paints his nails. He says, yeah. He says, I like painting my nails.
For a specific reason, too.
Yeah, and even he just likes it. It's cool. And And he said he was crying after a loss. He goes, yeah, I take it very seriously, and it meant a lot to me, and I felt bad.
A lot of guys cry after losses.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
And there's something that's happening. It's not just in sports, but there is something that is happening with some sort of atavistic tendencies toward what masculinity is and means. And I'm really happy to see some smart, aware adults pushing back against that by example. Caleb Williams is one of them. Tim Walz is one of them. Just in the football realm alone. And I think it's good.
So I ran across this on Monday. I was going back through the press conferences and listening to, it's game week, right? So I'm like, I'm in that mode. Like, it was, the air was really crisp Monday night. And I'm like, man, it feels like football, smells like football outside. And I'm watching DJ Moore. And I think he's an interesting guy, too. When you look at his production, he's been one of the best wide receivers in the game over the last 5 years. But obviously, where he was playing, how bad the teams were, the churn of quarterbacks that he had to live through. I think there are people that are still realizing, man, this guy is the goods. And that's where you can credit Ryan Poles for being like, yeah, I want the picks, but I also want that guy. I want him. Hearing DJ talk about why he's maybe not as visible or as known as some of the other wide receivers that are in the same realm statistically was interesting, and I thought that you might like to hear it.
I know I'm top 10, like, but will it be known? No. Will the league say anything about it? No. Will I be on list? Probably not. Do I care? No. Why I don't care?
No. Why do you think you?
Oh, because I'm not one of them people that do all the antics. Like, if y'all catch me, y'all see me out there doing like little silly stuff. But I'm not about to do that on like a major stage, like on a Sunday night, and do some crazy. Nah, that's not me. Like, I do it with my teammates. I'm not about to go out there and look crazy.
Do you have something to prove this year? Do you?
Do I have something? No.
Yeah, no.
I just go out there and play free every year. I don't really care about anything.
I think that can be a very healthy way to go about things. And I'm always struck by people who care about their craft with intensity, but are able to somehow not allow the other things connected with their craft to affect how they do their. It's amazing to me because it's business, but it's also personal. If you're him and you're like, look at these numbers. Did you see who was playing quarterback when I was putting up 1,100 yard receiving? Like, and then to maybe not be as recognized as some others, I'm jealous of his ability to turn that off.
I think it's what happens when you get the appropriate amount of money you're supposed to get too. The Bears extended him. They paid him what he was worth in the open market. I mean, think about CeeDee Lamb having to make his case in Dallas recently and what that meant, you know, what you were hearing. Even just like him saying LOL when Jerry Jones said, he'll get to it when he feels like it. As far as a contract extension, like, sometimes people get put in positions where they have to become a villain, even if they don't want to be, because of who's trying to play the good guy. And that's not the case here. DJ Moore earned his money outright. Anybody who was paying attention saw what was going on. And you're right. Like, he doesn't have to be the center of attention. He's doing his job and getting paid for it.
DJ Moore has topped another important list as well. Did you see this tweet from Mina Kimes yesterday?
No.
Mina Kimes put there's a list of quarterbacks and a list of receivers. And she wrote, I have a gay friend who drafts every year entirely based on looks.
I did see that.
And she said, he just texted me, wanted Jimmy G, but ended up with Mahomes, which has to be the first time in the history of the world that sentence has been uttered in a fantasy football context, dying at his rankings listed here. Number one among wide receivers, DJ Moore.
Oh, wow.
Number one. And then he is.
I mean, there's some pretty pretty good looking wide receivers.
The quarterbacks in his rank quarterback rankings: Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts,
appropriate.
Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields. I say it looks like a young Johnny Mathis, right? Baker Mayfield and Trevor Lawrence. And wide receivers, he does have Saquon Barkley in here, even though Barkley's not a wide receiver, I think because he was able to draft Barkley. But he's got DJ Moore, Saquon Barkley, T. Higgins, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr., Chase Claypool, Robert Woods, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp.
I don't know that I have him in a particular order.
I appreciate that you have always pushed back against the people that don't recognize the handsome of Jalen Hurts.
It's just baffling to
me. Yeah, the symmetricality that he's got is unique.
It's also the, like, just actual person there. Like, the choices he makes with who's representing him and why and, yeah.
We are told that Russ Dorsey
has a lot of fun in Brazil.
Russ Dorsey needs to push back until the segment after next. So next, we're going to hear from Caleb Williams. He just finished up talking at Hallis Hall, and we're going to hear what he had to say to reporters. So fresh Caleb Williams sound is straight ahead on the Bernstein and Holmes Show with Layla Rahimi, and today on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.